evening, my friends, and welcome to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Aurea Ortiz, and today I have the honor, the pleasure, and I don't know what else to say because I have a legend in front of me, and her name is Beatriz Rodriguez. So, Beatriz, welcome to Charla Comunitaria.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I want to start because there's so much things that you have offered here in the Lehigh Valley, not only in Bethlehem. Most of the time that you have spent here in the Valley has been in Allentown, but I know you have family here in Bethlehem, and they're so proud of you because of all the different areas that you have been able to cover and how proud you have made your family and the Hispanic community. And also because we are celebrating the beauty of a sister city between Bethlehem and Patillas, I wanted to bring the perspective of a patillense, un patillense, yes, that has been here for over 30s, many, many years. So, Beatriz, can you just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you and give us your story. We want to hear your story because it's important because we're going to be celebrating Patillenses, and every Patillense has their own particular story that have come here to Bethlehem and to Allentown and to the Lehigh Valley, and they have given also a share of good things to our community. So, go ahead.
Thank you, Aurea, for inviting me to this. My name is Beatriz Rodriguez Rodriguez. As the Latinos, we always use both last name. But when I first moved to Allentown, it was as Beatriz Ramirez. So those that don't know me, Rodriguez is Ramirez. Why I came here? Same as any other Latino, because I had a brother here. Sometimes we said, oh, I don't know anybody there, I don't have no family. No, you have a friend or a family member that lives there. So when I first moved in, I'm moving into Quakertown. From Quakertown, then I decided to buy a house, but it was too expensive there, so I bought a house in Allentown. As anybody else, I came here so I could give my kids a better future, better schooling, better opportunities. But I found myself, when I moved in, I came with one purpose, and I changed my purpose. I came just to work, to live, and nothing else. And I've seen the need in my community, everything changed. There was a need for knowledge, knowledge of the system, how to travel through the systems. So I decided, instead of finishing my bachelor degree in teaching biology, which I wanted to finish, I changed it to social worker because I wanted to help my community understand the systems here and being able to be productive. So I started with the school district. I tried to run as a school board. But first, I placed my family. I bought a house in Allentown. All my older sisters, she bought a house here in Bethlehem. So between the two cities, my family have lived all this time. I changed my purpose for just being for myself and my family to be for the community.
Now, when you say you change your purpose, now, I wanted to give you time to just give us, because I know you have a lot. You brought a whole book there with things. So we're going to try to get a little bit all of that book because it's a lot of things. That's your life that you're bringing in that whole folder. And it's an exciting life. And so you say you change your purpose. You change even your coursework in school. And what happened,
Well, what happened was when I first came, I needed to work. Mm-hmm. So I started working in a factory where they call it in that time Los Pollos.
Los Pollos. ¡Uh! Saludos a todos los pollos allá. That's not Hatfield. That's
one for Lawnakers.
Okay.
That already closed.
Okay.
But they llamaban Los Pollos, so I worked there cutting chickens, to do nuggets.
Oh, my God. Now I'm even more afraid. You're cutting chickens. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So continue. For 2.5 years, I did that while I was searching for a job. for work here in Allentown, because if that was like 45 minutes to an hour from Allentown, going south Quakertown. And after that, I found a job with the Community Services for Children with a Head Start. Uh-huh. And I was a home visitor. It was there as a home visitor that I saw the need for my community to be more involved in the education of their kids. So I worked with them for a year here. I work also in New Jersey with Community Services for Children with the Head Start. And then from there, I went into Casa Guadalupe. I ended up in Casa Guadalupe with the education department. Okay. So I was the education coordinator.
So Casa Guadalupe is mostly a place that is in Allentown that, that helps the community have different services.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was the social. It was the first social service agency done in Allentown. You know that it was established by the first Puerto Ricans that they came to the Lehigh Valley, and because it was part of the Catholic Church, I believe they did. They built Casa Guadalupe. Now, when I came, you could count with your fingers the Latinos in Allentown. When I came, it was like 25% of the population was Latino. And they had the old families. But Bethlehem have a more established Latino population that they have already second generation, third generation. In Allentown, it was, for me, when I came, my kids were the second. So they just started and they just came in. There was not an established community in Allentown, only through Casa Guadalupe. So I worked there, and I saw that the parents were not involved in their kids' education. Because why? We trust the system. In Puerto Rico, you trust your teachers. You trust the system in Puerto Rico, and the parents are not involved. At least when I was living there, and when I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. When I came out of Puerto Rico, I was already 25 years old. So the system was a lot different than what we have here. One of the things, for example, is that we have an hour of lunch in Puerto Rico. We used to have an hour of lunch, and they still have it. 15 minutes in the morning of recreational time, and 15 minutes in the afternoon. Besides the hour that we already take during lunchtime, that is free. The kids just go out and run. The school even run into the town if the school is in town. So when the kids come here, they have a very, very difficult. They have a difficulty adjusting to only half an hour lunch. And I had to teach my parents about that.
Only half an hour for lunch?
Wow. Yes, and by the time they come down from the rooms.
They have 15 minutes.
They have 15 minutes. And that's
they got to swallow their sandwich.
Yes, yes, they had to swallow everything and then run back up. They were cutting classes. They were failing in their grades. And the parents were just blaming the teachers, but not getting involved themselves. Mm-hmm. So when I designed my program for Casa Guadalupe, I changed everything. We have an after-school program for kids, and then we also added the parents groups. So I started making parent groups in each of the middle school and elementary schools in Allentown. And that helps. That helped a lot. But the parents then understood that. It's not that they don't want to get involved, it's that they trust the system. It was two part. For the workers, the teachers and the principals, to know that it's not that the Puerto Ricans or Latinos didn't care about the kids' education. We do care, because that's the only thing they're going to inherit. We don't have any money, so education was it.
When I had some of my other guests, most of the things that have said is exactly the same thing, that the most important thing for a Hispanic parent, even at that time and this time, is an education for their children, because that's the only thing, it's like the equalizer, if you don't get that. And as many kids that we're experiencing right now, we have gone back instead of forward, that so many kids are like failing in school as well. Mm-hmm. When we had like a balance that we were not, that the kids were not failing that much. But now it's just like, so it brings us back to the same old things that we have in the past. So continue.
Yes, and that's sad that we're going back to that. Because our kids, they need the parents to be behind. And I always told my parents, you have to be in the back of your kid pushing them up. because the system is going to push them out. So you're going to be pushing them inside. You're going to keep them there. Most of the youth that I have, I even had a youth leadership program for more older, because for the little ones that we have the after school, and for the older we have the youth leadership program. We need to build leaders. Mm. We're failing in that, and we need to do it. So I did it, and it was, you know, it was excellent. One of the youth that I have in that group, he have a doctorate, and he worked with LA and Los Angeles, you know. I have teachers from that group. I have secretaries. I have nurses from that group. And every time I found them, after years and years, I said, Beatrice, thank you, because you helped my parent understand what I was going through, and they were able to help me out. So it's a way that it does work. We need to go back to the simple, the basics.
One of the things that I've always have in mind, and you're just bringing that up as well, is, you know, we're here, we're just like kind of like travelers, and we're here, and whatever we learn, like all your experience, all your education, that will not be taken away from you. But then you yeah. can't just go and okay, I am, you know, I have all this, and it's me, and that's just me. Mm-hmm. So all of this, I mean, we're not going to be here forever. We're going to go, you know, like everybody yes. else. But we have to give this. It's a gift that we're going to have to give to the young people. How can we do that? I mean, our young people are lacking people that they could look up to. Our young people need those people from us. People that look like them and people that don't look like them, because we have to stop that thing that we are separating. If you have mm-hmm. a hero in your life, look, my hero was Mother Teresa, you know, hey, and I would never be able to do any half of the things that she did. We have to teach our kids that they need to focus on that. So tell me more on what do you think from your experience at Casa Guadalupe towards now. What can we do?
One of the things that we need to do is we need to stop saying that our youth, they don't know anything. They are very knowledgeable. We need to stop saying that they don't know anything. They don't know what to do anything. We need to let them grow, mm-hmm. but supervising them, be next to them. Because we tend to tell them what to do. Wrong. Ask them what they want. And what they want, it might meet halfway with what you're thinking that they need. And then you create from there that program. You make them stronger instead of weaker. Instead of telling them, oh, you need to do this. No. Okay, what is good for you? What do you think you need?
Now I see that we have the gentle you in this first part, like the one that, you know, go to school. Well, you started cutting chickens, you know, and then you move on to community service and then to Casa Guadalupe and with your education and your and social work. And now for our next segment that we're going to have, and you're going to be able to also give us that part of you that said, okay, enough is enough. Let me do something. I mean, it's good that we could complain, oh, this and this. No, if you don't do something, if you don't stand up and say enough is enough and you do something positive that will help our youth and will help our families, and that's what we're going to be talking next. So please stay tuned. We are listening to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Audio Ortiz.
Are you planning on getting rid of your car? Why not donate it to a good cause? WDIY accepts donations of used cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, and other types of vehicles, even boats, and the proceeds will support your favorite programs. WDIY's vehicle donation program makes it easy to give, the pickup is free, and your gift is tax deductible. For more information, call 610-694-8100 extension 4. Or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Charla Comunitaria. This is your host, Audrey Ortiz, and we are here speaking to Beatrice Rodriguez. I said it right. Woo! Beatrice, we were talking in our first segment about, you know, that you came and also the struggles that you had at the beginning and the many areas that you had to work and to build your future with your family here. And being a woman, you were raising your kids by yourself, or?
Yes, when I first came, yes.
She was raising?
How many
kids you had?
Three. I had four. I had the fourth year.
You have four kids?
Yeah.
And by the beginning, it was three kids that you came with. And you just went and first, whatever was available, doesn't matter if I have education, I go out and work. And you did all that, and you educated kids, and you tried to teach parents. What else did you do in this effort to get the message out?
I also get involved in a variety of different committees. In Allentown, we created committees. We created a group with the mayor to talk about the issues of the Latinos. And also, I was part of the Human Relations Commission in Allentown.
What was your role in the commission, the Human Relations Commission?
The Human Relations Commission was, my role was to give the insight of the Latino community, to do different workshops and give knowledge to my community in reference to the rights. But we did a lot of meetings, and nothing was still accomplished. And the Bible said that, the Lord said, mi gente se pierde por falta de conocimiento.
People perish because of lack of knowledge. That's what you said.
And that's something that happened to our community. Our community is not knowledgeable on who was there, what they did, and how they did it, and how to go about it. And part of the Human Relations Commission was to do that, to teach them how to fight for their rights. During that time, there was an incident in Allentown with the police. There were no Latino policemen at that time. Now we have a couple of them. Well, I think there's 50-50 at this point, thanks the Lord. Mm-hmm. But before, there was none. So there was an incident with one of the stores that a girl was accused of stealing, which she wasn't stealing. And we got involved in that. But as a human relation, they didn't want me to be involved. I said, I had to be involved. This is part of the community. This is what's happening with our community, that nobody listened to them. They just accused them. But with our youth, con nuestros jóvenes, tenemos que enseñarles el respeto a su propia raza.
Your meaning is that with our youth, we have to teach respect to their own. To their own, yes. And respect themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A pesar de que estuve envuelta con el Human Relations Commission, eso no me paró para también estar envuelta con mi comunidad y ayudar a mi comunidad a que entendieran cuáles eran sus derechos. But sometimes you need to watch how much you get involved, because you get so involved that you lose yourself in the process. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop and come back and then prioritize what your fight is going to be about it. And I did it about to stop the police brutality. And I was able to set a point to stop it, to involve that it was kind of dangerous for my family. The Department of Justice sent somebody to check on my car because I received threats during that time. And I had to ask myself, how much do I want to put my family at risk? For a community that sometimes they support you, they don't support you. Yes, you need to decide which fight you're going to take. So I took over working with youth in doing leadership programs for them. And because I'm not going to be a youth all my life. So we needed to build and make it a stronger leaders from our youth. And that's why we did programs. We did conference that the state, I worked with the state Department of Education, and we did a statewide conferences with youth, which was very successful. And from that group, we have, as far as I know, very strong leaders now in Pennsylvania. And I think that's the fight that we need to continue, working with the youth, making them stronger, because they're going to be the future. Well, they are now the reality. They are now, and they're going to be our future's leaders. And we need to build on that.
Now, combining this with where you come from, Patillas, what do you miss of Patillas? And then what you don't miss, and now what you share is of Bethlehem. and what you don't cherish? Because there's twofold, right?
Yes, and what I miss is that we are very in Patillas, which I was born and raised.
Where were you born in Patillas?
El Bajos. Me crié en Guadarraya, in front of the ocean.
Ay, ay, ay. The ocean. Me
I
llama.
Would just sit on my balcony and look at the little fishes jumping.
And the fish jump over there.
And the sunset every afternoon, seeing that sunset so beautiful.
So now that, what similarities you see? Because, like, I see in the uniqueness of Bethlehem, the small town feel, even though, you know, that we have rural and urban, yeah. But we have that small town feel. And I see Patillas, it's a small town, everybody knows each other. I see that similarity in how we look out for each other there in Patillas. Have you seen that here in Bethlehem? I see that in Bethlehem. I know you live more in Allentown.
Yes.
And Allentown is a bigger city, but still we have more or less people that also feel alike in the Lehigh Valley.
When I first moved to Allentown, that's what attracted me to Allentown too. Because when I first moved, it was just a couple of Latinos, but it was that country feel. And that's the same feel that I feel here in Bethlehem. That's why my daughter liked Bethlehem more than Allentown, because of that country togetherness, know each other, especially in the Latino community.
As a Patillense, what do you feel when Patillas is going to be the sister city, but we're talking about Puerto Rico and all the other cities, because, you know, this is not just about Patillas. This is about Puerto Rico as we have that umbrella that covers all of them. What makes you proud about this moment?
Make us proud that we could do a lot of programs together. We could help each other. We could make it stronger with each other. Patilla is like you say, it's a very small town. Everybody knows each other. Everybody help each other. Because I think that's the most important thing, that we help each other make it stronger, make a community that it doesn't matter if you're in Bethlehem or you're in Patillas, you feel the same way.
And you come to make it productive. Like, you know, you came and you did your social work,
yes.
and you saw something that was wrong, and you went out and said, you know, we need to work on this. You know, we're just not going to ignore something. You know, I don't have any power. I can't do it. We all have, even if a little power in anything that we could change, it makes it better for the next person.
Exactly. That way when they come from there, if the youth come from there, that they get to be understood of what is to be a youth in Patillas. And they understand then to learn how it is if the youth in Bethlehem. So that's even that exchange of schools, you know, that the youth have the opportunity to come here, and the one that they're here have the opportunity to go to Puerto Rico. Because I remember one time in school, in Patillas, when we have a student from the United States, when an Anglo, we call them that, and he didn't know anything in Spanish. And we said, we are el gringuito. So, and we help him understand, and he was so happy that he was in Patilla with us, and we took him through the whole town, showing everything that we have in Patillas. And that was a very good experience, because that helped me love more the English language, because I had to struggle talking to him.
And we have, like, I had Guillermo Lopez here once, and he was telling me about also people and young people that have lived here all their lives. And it was like, I think it was Flor's husband, that he told me that he'd never been in Puerto Rico. And he was Puerto Rican, but he'd never been in Puerto Rico. Then he had this farm over there, and grandfather, and he saw a cow. He was like, whoa, a cow. And he was able to go, and the grandfather showed you how to milk the cow. And he thought that was the most wonderful thing. And then he put his brand new white sneakers, like, to milk the cow. Can you believe? So it was such an impact that he had in him that he he couldn't understand like why he was so happy to go milk with his $150 sneakers full of mud. But wow. And then the Puerto Rican coming here, understanding how it's lived here, you know.
Yeah.
So having the understanding, the culture understanding. And yeah, they're cold. Imagine. I know my kids, when they came here, they loved to be out there. And they came freezing, like, they looked like ice cubes.
Yeah.
So and it was so wonderful because they didn't even know how to do that angel thing.
Yes.
And they said, stop doing angel. You're going to be stuck in there, frozen there. So those are the most wonderful things.
I have all my grandkids there here. And then my granddaughters, they all live here in Bethlehem. And when the mom took them to Puerto Rico the first time, they were like, oh, my God, we didn't know Puerto Rico has so many beautiful places. You know, they thought it was an island with nothing. And my grandson was very amazed with the cows. He was amazed.
What is it with the
cows
in Puerto Rico?
I mean, when does it cow?
Do they have a special brand of cows? What I say is, like, we have to expose you, young people, to different experiences.
Yes.
You know, we're just talking
it
about the cows here,
important.
But no, don't just bring it to the cows, you know. You know, if you expose a young person, how are we going to accept each other? We don't know each other. How can you
enrich?
You know, how can you try to accept someone if you don't know anything about their culture?
Yes.
So learning about each other's culture within Bethlehem and Patillas will help us learn about each other, how we could help each other.
It's very sad to see when somebody, you're talking in Spanish, and they say to you, oh, don't talk Spanish, you know, we are in USA, because they think we don't want to learn English. No, we want to preserve our language, too. All my kids are bilingual. They speak both languages. My grandkids, that they were raised here in Bethlehem, they're bilingual. They speak both languages, because that's the richness of the culture, the language.
We have, like, just 1 minute. So if you could give me, in a few sentences, you know, a message about our sister cities and a message about kind of an advice or something that you want to share with us.
For the sister cities, it's like that, like sisters. We're going to help each other. We're going to nurture each other. And it is important that we share, that we help each other. That's the most important thing. Love each other. Because this is not competition. This is for love.
In Puerto Rico, if one wins, all the other cities win. And we are really, really emphasizing for people to join us on that wonderful day. That is September 20th. There's going to be a city hall, okay, at 1 p.m., where we're going to have that big presentation. And Patillenses like Beatriz Rodriguez and people from
100%.
Different, she's 100%, and people from other pueblos. I'm from Arroyo, but I'm going to be there. I'm always from Arroyo, Patillas. My husband's from Patillas. My kids are from Bayamón. I have a whole team, and then I was raised in Toa Baja. I don't even know where I'm at. So everyone, you know, meet us there. Also, we're going to have the wonderful Hispanic Heritage Day that's also going to be the day before, September 19th. And, you know, we invite everybody from every Latin American country, because we are going to have prizes there. And we are going to showcase that Latinos are here bringing their culture, bringing their food, bringing their knowledge of many things, because we have many people come. Some are doctors, some are teachers, some are social workers. We are just people like anybody else, people like any other culture, but people that would like to live in peace. And this sister city will be a wonderful one, and we want you to be part of it. Beatriz Rodriguez, I know that you have so many other things. I mean, she has a book, I could tell you. She has a real thick book here, so I wish you could see it. But because of her, all the things that she has given to the Lehigh Valley, but we're thankful for you being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, you're listening to Charla Comunitaria. I want to thank James Ciprot, our engineer. And I also want to thank WDIY for helping us spread the word on the Hispanic heritage. You've been listening to Charla Comunitaria. I'm your host, Audrey Ortiz.
If you enjoyed this program, you can hear this episode and more, along with our other public affairs programming, at wdiy.org, on WDIY's free mobile app, on your favorite podcast platform, or live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WDIY.